Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The telephone number. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up next segment, 120, here on Zolak and Bertrand. We saw him over at the Garden last night. He's ready to go.
How's he doing?
He's enjoying himself.
Of course he is.
Loving that the cup is being played here in Boston, you know. Sounding Canadian, even though he's not.
You know, Beetle. Hello, Beetle. Hello, Zol. Hardy. Hi, Hardy.
It's happy to see Hardy.
It's good talking to Billy last night.
I'd say he was
night.
Less happy to see me, but, you know, whatever.
He hates us.
No, it doesn't. I'm joking. I'm joking. I was, you know, trying to settle the behind-the-scenes beats here about his availability today.
Well, that's tough at TV.
What show he was going to be on and all that. I was trying to work that all out.
Yeah, the poaching
peacefully.
Of guests.
Yeah. I was trying to work it all out peacefully, but it was too late. It was too late.
Of course it is.
I arrived too late to the scene.
I took care of it.
Zoe already said angry things. It was too late. So we're going to talk to Billy Jaffe today.
Put it out there.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Billy at 120. Looking forward to talking to him. All right?
When you're grinding.
All good. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Can't wait to talk to Billy.
Everyone's good? Again, congratulations to Chris and Walpole on winning those tickets to Stanley Cup Final game.
I'm so excited.
We'll be back down there tomorrow, getting ready to do it again. What's the weather for tomorrow? How are we looking?
Cold. Not what it was yesterday.
How are we looking, Jim? Cold?
I got to check. It keeps updating. It's updating so quickly. Like, every 5 minutes it changes.
What, are we getting a cold front?
One day it's supposed to be 85. The next day it's supposed to be 51. So who knows?
We're going to break out the winter jackets for tomorrow?
56 tomorrow.
56?
Yeah. Where'd that 90-degree potential day go?
What are we going to war? It's like we're going to Warrior tomorrow.
What?
Hardy and I.
Hardy, I might have to to get that warm bowl of chili.
Remember
we were making fun of Mass for eating the chili in the 85-degree day? I might get the bowl of chili.
You're not
tomorrow.
Kidding. Mm. We're looking at a high in the 50s tomorrow,
ooh,
aren't we?
Oof. If there's a slight wind, that will feel probably like 51, 52. Wind chill 52, I would say.
What are you seeing there, Hottie?
Nothing good. I'm just thinking, like, what our crowds are going to be like.
I'm seeing a high of 58 tomorrow.
Well, they'll probably be a little frustrated trying to get to work as the construction was taking place. Like yesterday when nobody was in town, but yet it was really crowded down there. That's going to be fun. I wonder where everybody's going to park.
High of 58.
Oof.
High. Ooh, that is cold. Look how cold you are.
I'm seeing 56 at 10 a.m.
Cool. Boom. Watch your head get cold.
With a feels like a 52.
Ice should be really good tomorrow night.
It's almost June. You're still going feels like temperature.
Feels like 52. It looks
that real feels, though?
It looks dry, though.
Yeah.
Today's high is 54. Is it that cold out there? And rain?
Oh, yeah.
We're getting
nasty.
Rain today, too?
Nasty today.
Yeah. Raining out there? Sorry. So why don't you
100% chance.
So why don't you take a look out the shade there. Lift up the shade if we could just get Zoe peering out the window.
I believe the quote was, I hate it here.
Yeah, he said, I hate it here.
14-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow.
14-mile-an-hour winds, a little gusty.
I'd say it's in the high 40s then.
A little gusty.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it's that gusty.
The good news is they won't be putting the stage together tomorrow because they already put it together.
Oh, that's good.
Unless they broke it down last night.
Well, I mean, they just keep Canal Street closed for 3 days?
Yeah.
Why not?
What if they got to come back?
There you go. They put the weather behind you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, the weekend looks nice.
That's Boston's exclusive 10-day forecast.
Saturday and Sunday.
That's showing a high of 60 for tomorrow. That's optimistic. I like that. Oh boy. That's a glass half full type of forecast. Weekend looks good. 75 and sunny on Saturday. That's I like that. Mm-hmm. Good.
Nice.
Be better for the ice tomorrow night.
Looking real nice.
Well, it is June 1st on Saturday, so 75 isn't asking too much, is it?
Friday, it's Saturday.
You're right. That is true. It's can we just get day in the 70s?
I got to get some more
sun. Nice weather where it's not 95 degrees. 90 degrees on Sunday. It was almost like it was too hot too soon.
Too hot.
It was too soon. It went from winter to summer overnight. All right, so it's going to be cool tomorrow, but we'll be down there anyway getting ready for the game.
Come on down.
We'll be down there. We'll do the damn thing.
It's chilly there.
Coming up next, we'll be talking to Billy Jaffe of Nesson, of all kinds of other places, NHL Network, Westwood One. He does it all. He does everything. Billy Jaffe's going to give us his thoughts on Game 1 and what he saw from the Bruins last night and what we can expect to see Game 2. And is that top line going to get going for the Bruins? We'll discuss with him coming up next. Don't go.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes the Shen. He shoots, he scores! Braden Shen picks it up at the hash mark and shoots it in for the first goal for the St. Louis Blues. Tarasenko shoots, he scores! Tarasenko, and the Blues, a minute into the second, have taken a 2-0 lead.
Listen, I wouldn't make it a habit. I don't think we're going to be able to do that every night against good teams. St. Louis certainly a good team.
Cool.
I think, he had no helmet on, so he wanted to make sure he made the highlights and make that up. He's a guy who never gives up, and he battles hard.
Picked up our game a little bit. We got a little more physical, and we started moving our feet and moving the puck, and we ended up spending more time in their end and didn't give them as much room, and I think that's kind of when we started taking the game.
Rally over the line, high slot, into the far circle. Center's deflected. They score! It's Connor Clifton!
McAvoy wheels over the line, high slot.
Shoots! He scores!
We see guys get rewarded. We get a lot of D-men who can skate, who can join the rush, and today choked.
Bar circle at center. Corrali shoots, he scores!
We're a team that's relied on everybody all year, and tonight was another great example.
Center's deflected. Rask the save. Shen digging away as Achari buries him, and the horn is going to sound. Rask pulls himself out of there. The Boston Bruins roar back with four unanswered goals, and they win Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final.
That's the recap of last night's Game 1 at the Garden. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in from Nesson. It's Billy Jaffe joining us. Hi, Billy. What's up?
Hi, Beetle. What's up with you? Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Beetle.
What's up, Hardy?
Hello.
All right, so tell me, what stands out from Game 1 for you? Obviously, Corrali being a big part of the win, but does the top line get going for the Bruins? And what do you think of the decision by Bruce Cassidy to just sort of stick with the Corrali line and shy away from the top line last night and having it pay off the way it did?
Okay, well, there's a lot there. I'll tell you what, the first thing that jumps out at me is when the Bruins got their legs going collectively. There's a faster team, there's a quicker team, and they really forced St. Louis into some uncomfortable situations. Beadle in particular, they started backing up the defense, and that's the strength of St. Louis. And if you can back those big boys up, that's when you've made yourself very effective against them. And, you know, they gapped out, et cetera. Now, with regard to the Corrali line, playing more here and there, getting some more matchup stuff, love it. That's what this team is about. Beadle, that's what this team is about when it's all said and done. You know, the first period, remember the Pastrnak one-timer made a beautiful save, or Binnington did. If that goes in, and I know we're playing the if game, perhaps that changes for that top line. I thought at times perhaps they tried to do a little too much, which is kind of the beauty and the beast of having so much skill that those guys do. But I thought the third period, they started to cycle more. They started to flow more. I think the top line will get going. I'm fully confident in that. But I love the fact that Bruce Cassidy went with other guys that he knew were going better, and that, I think, helped elevate this team to victory.
The differential in shots on goal and, you know, potential goals, you know, from that second period to the end of that third, have you ever seen, you know, in these playoff series, and you've seen a lot of these games where a team has switched it the way the Bruins did, the way how they were able to adjust.
Yeah.
A lot of that's on Cassidy, too. I mean,
I remember when they got outshot 20-6. Remember when the Carolina Hurricanes did it to them the other day, and then the Bruins turned it back the other way, and they got going? I know what you're saying. I mean, the Bruins just went into so the first period to me wasn't bad. It was not bad at all. They weren't. It was, in fact, I had the Bruins for five legitimate scoring chances. That doesn't mean hit the net on all of them, but I had them for five chances compared to one, maybe two for St. Louis. But they were down 1-0. Okay, I thought so. Once they got going, second period, it was so clear upon the forecheck and using the wall and changing sides to get St. Louis to have to decipher where to go. I thought the Bruins owned the puck. They owned the offensive zone. And again, I thought they had a lot of that in the first period. It just wasn't as dramatic because I think so. The fact that the Bruins just had that little bit, it was a little rust.
So
it wasn't a lot, just a little.
Tell me that again. What'd you have the Bruins versus St. Louis for chances in the first period?
I had the Bruins with five legit chances in the first period, and maybe not all of them even hit the net. The Johansson one, remember, that's not credited when he hits the crossbar. That's
right.
Not a shot on goal.
Still good
effort,
though.
And then the DeBrusque one, when he came, it was a great effort. DeBrusque came in. I don't think that was credited with the shot. You have the Pastrnak save right there. That's three. I had others written down. I had them with legit chances. Binnington made a couple of good saves in the first. But the Bruins did a beautiful job of getting to him in the second period, too. And I thought they kind of got him a little bit into his bucket a bit.
Yeah, I thought
they did.
I thought the Bruins had more chances in the first period than the Blues did. And
yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I said that earlier, and Shaughnessy disagreed with me. So I hope Shaughnessy's still listening on his ride home. I hope you.
Well, somebody
now that we got a hockey expert on Shaughnessy.
Well,
I hope he believes.
Somebody else said, I don't know who it was. It wasn't Shaughnessy. It said the Bruins had an awful first period. I'm like, no, they didn't. They did not have an awful. It wasn't even bad. It was
turning the puck over in that second goal that St. Louis had was not
good. That's the second period, though.
Oh, right. Started the second period. You're right.
And that was awful. And you know what? You don't need me or somebody else to tell, you know, Pastrnak that. That's a mistake that happens that shouldn't happen. I mean, that was bad. But I think that almost in some way, and I think Bruce Cassidy alluded to this, like that kind of changed the team around, saying like, okay, enough of this. Let's get going. And then when you see Connor Clifton score, and after that fourth line gets him going, I mean, that completely changed the tenor of the Garden. You guys were there, the tone, the energy, everything. And to see a guy like that do it, you know, Cliffy hockey, as I like to call it, that put a huge jolt of you know, espresso through the bench right then.
What do you make of that Krug sequence?
I absolutely loved it.
Don't you?
I absolutely loved it because of, I mean, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that's what we were celebrating. That's playoff hockey right there. And I don't understand the people that are lamenting that should be a charge. Look, I understand everybody sees the game differently, but you're allowed to cover ground. You are. I mean, you're allowed to cover ground. He stopped skating, I thought, for at least 15, if not 20 feet before he went in. His arms were down. There was no major hit. There was no contact with the head whatsoever. To me, that's a play that is just like, yeah, way to go, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And now, because we have to analyze every play, if it's good or not, I'm sorry, I don't see that as a charge.
Charging, see, I think it could have been called, but that's a penalty we don't see get called that often anyway. That to me is one, it's on the books, but I don't feel it's one that gets called as often as maybe it could, by the letter of the law, could get called.
I think it gets called if the hit, not as more impactful, but gets hit in a different area, meaning he went through the body with the arms down. If there was, if he hit him more from the back a little, if he hit him, I don't know, if he blew him up to a point where the guy couldn't even get up.
Because the word injure is in the rule, I think injury is also taken into account with how it's done.
I would agree. Listen, yeah. I texted two other refs, and neither one of them, I said, your view, I asked them. They did my own little straw poll, and they were like, nope, two guys, and they're like, good no call.
Oh, good.
I agree. I thought the officials allowed that to breathe. I mean, that was a beautiful battle play from Perron and Krug at one end of the ice to Krug saying, I'm going to get down there. And yeah, you know what? He saw the hit happen. But let's not forget, the Bruins encouraged their D-men to get up, get involved to play, to pinch along the wall. He's allowed a certain amount of ice, and he did not take three strides right then he hit him. He took strides. He coasted. I think it's completely legal, impactful, and legal.
Doesn't any part of you feel, though, if this was the regular season, they would have called him for it?
This is a lame answer for you, Beetle. I think it would depend on the official.
Yeah, I felt. Listen, I don't want that called anyway, but I just looked at it, and I'm like, oh, if this was the regular season, they would have called him
probably
for it. But I think, hey, that's good, because playoff hockey, you let it go. They let it go the other end of the ice. They let it go at that point. It's the third period of a Stanley Cup final playoff game. That play was a signature moment. It was Torrey Krug and the Bruins getting to send a message. I mean, that is that thing. That stamped the series. It stamped the game. Torrey Krug gets to stamp a moment for himself. Everybody loved it. It was great.
I agree. And, you know, I go back to this. So if Krug's coming up the ice and decide to stay in the play because, again, Bruins like their D up. They like the pinch. They want to, keep plays alive. They also want their D to be aggressive. They're giving that green light. If Krug goes up there and what do they want? To stick the puck maybe and gets beat right there, then everybody's analyzing, oh, my God, what an awful play. Take the body. Take the man. He did it. I thought he executed it perfectly. I really do.
Hey, Billy, before the series, you're always looking for storylines, right? And I know Cassidy got tired of the press conference. He said, it's my first Stanley Cup, so he got for a guy like Backes, too. And then we kind of shrugged it off, like the Backes storyline going into this. It's Backes. But it seems like this thing is building where there's a couple cheap shots taken by former teammates at this guy.
I think that, David is not afraid to put himself into certain situations that are going to create physical confrontation. And because of that, I think there's going to be stories, or incidents, so to speak. My vantage point was Edmondson got him. Maybe Edmondson felt that he didn't get him enough to warrant that David going down. I can't tell you. The replays that I saw sure looked like that stick-to-face contact was made. But, David is a vocal man. He's a passionate man. He's an emotional guy, and he was there a long time. So I think there's going to be stories, though, about it.
What's Edmondson's deal? What's his deal? What's the beef? What's the history there? There's got to be something.
I don't know, but I think there's a few players on St. Louis that you can get into things. I think that you can get some penalties from. Edmondson's one of them. David Perron is another one. I think you can get at, they try to be emotional. Sometimes guys try to be impactful without thinking an awful lot. Remember the old Benoit Pouliot? He played a bit for the Bruins. He would take offensive zone penalties all the wrong times.
Mm-hmm.
There's players that just are like that. And, Pouliot was almost more of it was almost like a lazy penalty. He'd reach his stick out because he didn't want to have the right, get back into position or whatever. These other guys, I think sometimes they're trying to show how strong they are, how potentially tough they are. And I think that that's something that the Bruins can look to take advantage of.
All right, Billy, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Gentlemen, look forward. I hope to see you guys tomorrow night again. It was fun catching up with you.
See you,
okay,
Bill.
Very good.
See ya.
All right, Billy Jaffe joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll turn it over to Hardy. Get you caught up on the headlines. We're back. We got one more segment of your calls and reaction to Game 1. A Bruins win last night at the Garden. Today's takeaways at 1.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
You got a shot off your wrist here.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Just got a cut, so I just needed to get some stitches quickly, and you know, it's just a cut.
Merely a flesh wound there for
just a cut.
Zdeno Chara's whole arm gets busted open late in the game last night.
You know what's weird?
What?
Is they have that exposure, you know, between like the elbow and the wrist there.
Not
you
well protected there.
Why can't you wear like a wrist guard?
It's probably cumbersome. Who wants to do that?
I'd be padded up like crazy. That
Chara doesn't wear a shield. Chara doesn't have his face covered. Do you think he's worried about
his
wrist?
His face?
Just a cut.
He cut. If he dies, stitch up. I go back to play hockey. Again.
They're not worried about their wrists.
I think Chara's worried about that.
He's worried about his forearm.
I mean, come on.
Listen to this guy.
Flesh wound.
That was bleeding pretty good, though.
It's good blood.
Does he seem concerned with it?
Nah.
Just a cut.
Just a cut. Doesn't seem the slightest bit concerned about that.
The way he was holding it, it looked like it was more than a cut. More than a cut.
Yeah.
You know, he was holding his arm like it, you know, the something else was. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I thought he broke his wrist.
Yeah.
Because they were pretty alarmed, too. The broadcast was pretty alarmed. They see everything, you know? And they're like, oh, he went right down to that tunnel. Team's tunnel.
Yeah, he was holding it in a weird way, but no, he's of course he's fine.
I bet theirs went. Look at Zdeno Chara. He's got to be the biggest hockey guy we've ever seen at 6'9 on skates. Woo! Some blood. The ice is full of blood. Where do they think that crew's staying at? They make their own reservations? Or they stay with the team?
The St. Louis guys?
Yeah.
Probably.
Think they're listening to us today?
Probably an Airbnb.
I mean, so, like, we'll be in a visiting city. We'll, like, I'll turn a radio on. Just hear, like, what's the local sports sound? You know, what's it sound like? Just wonder if they do that here. Or they're sitting in a hotel watching us. Going, oh, my God, they're ripping us. These a-holes. The hell they think they are.
I don't know.
Now you got to sit and wait for 2 days. Huh? It's kind of cool, though. 2 days in Boston. Be nice this time of year.
So you never really got that. You don't get that when you travel. You don't have like two days to kill.
The only time we do that is
London.
Super Bowl. London.
Super Bowl, but you're working every day.
Yeah. Make sure you hurry up, hit the ground
running. Walking through the city yesterday, it's beautiful outside. Like, oh, we got a day off tomorrow. Nice.
Yeah.
It's 54.
And you know what? I heard the other hockey guys doing it too. And Levy's always back and forth because he lives here. But like you watch the hockey guys, they all wear suits. People involved in the league wear suits. Like, even them setting up, they're all standing there holding their black cup of coffee, and they're all in their suits at 8:30 in the morning.
Well, my dad used to say that, he never liked the fact that people started wearing, like, normal clothes to hockey games, because he always thought it was a cool thing. When you went to a hockey game, you got dressed up. I mean, it was something you got dressed up for.
It's like the players get dressed,
much more so, more so than you would for any other sporting event. It's like you got your, you know, your best clothes on to go to the hockey game. It was something that it was like a night out.
That's something neat.
Yeah. So I think that's a holdover. That's very old school. You get dressed for the hockey game.
Speaking of dressing up, at what point did the transformation begin yesterday as to when Ty Anderson went from a 12-year-old to a 34-year-old man?
Yeah, that was a bit unsettling.
There was a picture sent on our text train. I had no clue who it was. It was Ty Anderson all dressed up. And cleaned up.
But it was dressed up as a child would dress himself, because he wasn't wearing a suit. He was wearing like gold pants and a purple jacket. He kind of looked like Cesar Romero's version of the Joker in the 60s Batman TV series.
Looks like he would be a bartender at a swanky type joint. You know what I mean? Like, Hey, what do you want?
It kind of looked like a bar. Glass? Well, it looked like a bartender, like in the grill room of the Overlook Hotel, not in the Gold Ballroom.
Yes.
But in, you know, in the.
And his name was Chad or Chester. Hi, Chester. Let me tell you my problem, Chester.
What are the secondary bars at the Overlook? That's how he was. I mean, he was dressed very nice, and he did look older than his. Like his, you know, his normal 12-year-old appearance.
Did he have a pocket watch on a chain that he pulled out? Like, I see what time.
Like Tom Hanks and Big. This is what grown-ups wear. I'm sorry. I'll put on
my. So he didn't have his NASA hat. That's interesting. Oh my God, he's right there. He's sitting next to the intern of the Felger NAS program.
He's wearing.
Who I call Bob Soucy's son. It's Bob Jr. Like Bob Soucy. Looks like he looks like Bob. Look at his hair.
And today ties back to his normal attire with his deliciously ironic ET t-shirt and his trucker hat.
Yeah, where's your skateboard? Listen, a little Avril Lavigne on the way in?
I don't think that's what they're listening to.
He's going to be on with us tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah, so we should be nicer to him and about him right now?
You do whatever you want.
Oh, he'll be all dressed up that day. He'll come in as a... As a chauffeur, he'll be dressed as a chauffeur.
Powder blue
top hat.
I'm a powder blue tux.
Listen, I'm just telling you that, that he's going to
Dumb and Dumber.
I'm just telling you that he's going to be on this tomorrow.
Hey, Lloyd, look at him. Oh my God.
That's all. I'm just telling you that tomorrow he'll be on with us. Okay.
He looks like if Phil Perry and Tuca had a baby. Like he's morphed into that creature. Really? See it? He's on. Like,
he does.
Yeah.
That's
he's
a good call.
Little Perry Tuca in him.
He's got a bit of a Tuca Rask look about him. I don't know. Guy could do a lot worse. Yeah, good for you.
Yep. You do whatever it is you want to do, Hardy. He'll be a guest with us tomorrow.
So we got...
the jacket was purple, Beetle. That doesn't require any additional comment. It was a purple sport coat he was wearing in gold pants.
It got crowded yesterday.
He looked like Willy Wonka, for Christ's sake. You're not going to make any mention of it?
I thought it looked good. Who am I to judge?
Wait a minute. Is that Stakowitz sitting at the table behind them? With Julie? Yeah. They moved their table when we left. So they... That's how paranoid Felger and Maz are. They put our team behind them at a table. So
I don't blame them. That was...
When
Beatles showed up yesterday, he was like, no, this is way too close to the rim. And if for nothing else, you're just going to get inundated with people...
The weather yesterday was gorgeous, and I couldn't blame anybody for
coming. Well, just people don't know we're on the air. They're walking by, and they're right next to the rail, and they want to talk to you. It's like, well, they're actually on the radio right now, but they would just want to stop and talk.
And then people get mad when you don't talk back, and you're in the middle of the show, and you have a headset on, and you can't even hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
You have no idea what they're saying to you, and they're like, why are they not responding? I'm like, one, I can't even hear what you're saying to me. Number two, I'm in the middle of this over here. I can't. There's just nothing I can do. Yeah.
So we're back at the exact same spot tomorrow.
Same spot.
Okay, good. Good
food. Hopefully I can't tell you how many people yesterday. I went to the Garden immediately after the show. I can't tell you how many people that either were already there covering the game or work in the Garden, people that work there, stopped me and asked me about the guy that we saw on the street who had issues.
Oh, man. 1:30, and he was gone.
That stuck out to people yesterday.
Well, I started to get scared because I saw it coming, and nobody saw him coming.
I couldn't see him from where I was seated, and I couldn't see it.
He ran right into the corner of the TV tent behind us.
For whatever reason, that moment in yesterday's show really stuck with people.
How about when he walked into the cement pole when he retreated?
Well,
and so I got asked, and was that was mentioned to me by a lot of people yesterday at the Garden. Yesterday afternoon, a lot of people brought that up to me. They're like, hey, how about that guy, huh?
I mean,
was like, well,
he had body fluid coming out of every hole in his body.
So it was funny to me because, number one, you either heard it and you didn't see it. And two, even if you were watching, you didn't see him. That was not on television.
No.
That was off camera.
Could not talk about it. Could not talk about it.
And what Zoe yelled
scary.
Out, what Zoe yelled out was priceless.
I don't even remember what it was.
I'll tell you off the air. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to repeat it now. Today's takeaways are coming up next. So
imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island. the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
They give.
Give it to me! Give it to me now, damn it!
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaways are delivered to you by Wake 180 Weight Loss. It continues to make losing weight easy, and they now offer optional gourmet prepared meals for Wake 180 clients. Set up your consultation today. So we have a couple things from today.
Oh, yeah?
Jim said we have yet to hear a certain call by the St. Louis broadcast.
We'll get to that. We didn't play any of the Bettman press conference yesterday.
Which I heard was very Randy Johnson-esque.
I'm just going to stand here and read stuff.
I don't think he's best suited for that environment, the press conference environment.
I'm
going
to be.
Here's just 10 seconds of it for you.
Obviously, the Boston Bruins are back in the final. This for the third time in the last 9 years. And congratulations to Jeremy Jacob.
Jeremy Jacob.
We have our flagship station here featuring Mark Bertrand and Scott Zola.
And congratulations to Jeremy Jacob.
What, did they put the S on the next line?
Yeah, probably.
The S is on the next page?
Are you reading?
Next yeah. step.
Jeremy Jacob.
Charlie Jacobs, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, Bruce Cassidy, Captain Zdeno Chara.
Zdeno Chara. What a herb.
Captain Zed. N-O. Emo Phillips.
Chara.
Cha-cha.
Captain Phillips.
And congratulations to Jeremy Jacob.
That's a keeper.
Captain Zdeno Chichi Rodriguez.
Patrice.
Captain Zdeno Chara.
Pod Trice Berg
Bergeron
Eron
Bergeron
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 Charles McAvoy and of course facing his old team David Bax.
Oh man. Oh, boy. So that was the press conference. Third time in 9 years for the Jacobs family.
The first trip to the cup final for Coach Bruce Cassidy. And, gosh, let's get through this here.
Captain Zdeno Chara.
Chara.
And also the stellar offensive play of David I'm not even going to try that one. Okay, questions.
And make sure you try the new donut burger.
He
in
read
section
for 15 minutes before taking questions.
15 minutes he read that crap.
Oh, another
again, I don't think this is his best environment. I don't think it's best suited for him.
Another
We need to get to another call from St. Louis Radio that we did not play today.
Blues leading 1-0. 1 minute gone by. In the second in front, Tarasenko shoots. He scores! Tarasenko and the Blues, a minute into the second, have taken a 2-0 lead.
Well, it's the top line again. They went to work in the first. We were just talking about Brayden Schenn's goal. Now right here, the St. Louis Blues top line go to work again. It's a turnover behind the Bruins net. The defensemen, Chara and McAvoy, look like they have a little bit of a miscommunication on a reverse call. It's going to be Jaden Schwartz from behind the net and Brayden Schenn. They get it, and it's going to be Schenn behind the net. Tarasenko sneaks in from the high slot. No hesitation. A quick little snap, one-timer. And again, Jesus. It's going to be that low blocker area that he beats Tuukka Rask for the second goal of the game here for this top line.
What's wrong with this call? This is actually a good call.
That's a good call.
It's too much information. No, I got lost.
It doesn't sound manic to you?
It is manic.
Yeah, he's all coked up, and so what?
Okay. You know, there's 14 different things that happen throughout the course of his play. It's at the top where it gets going.
He's calling this game from the ninth floor, and he didn't take the elevator. Let's just say that.
Well, it's the top line again. They went to work in the first. We were just talking about Brayden Schenn's goal.
Said it. That's so Wallach's mom. She was down there behind the net. I'm like, hey, Mrs. Wallach.
No, that's a good call. I got to give it to them on that one.
That's a good call.
And you know what? A lot of teams would have folded at that point. Down 2-0, giving up a goal like that with your top defensive pairing on the ice.
Yeah.
And with a bad giveaway like that around the back of the net, a lot of teams could have shut it down in that situation, being down 2 goals. Not the Bruins, though. Not this team. Response. Once again, part of their story last night. What's next? What else do we have?
A caller from earlier today.
Yeah, okay. Oh, odd sound. Good one.
The emotion of everything, but really kind of turned the tide on.
He hooked him, too. He, like, stuck his
head. Yeah.
I mean, and I know Doc Emmerich after, too. Yeah, baby. Sounds like there's a baby in the nest. You know, like when you're feeding the baby bird,
You feed the baby bird?
The worms. The mother does. Not usually. She chews it up and usually feeds them. And I know Doc Emmerich after, too. You got baby? He's got a baby.
You got baby there?
You got
who's
baby?
Who's the guy that called and had all the birds in the background? He's like, you got any birds? No, I don't got any birds.
The birds in the truck.
Birds in the truck.
Why would he lie about it not having birds in the truck?
Guy who's driving around with a truck full of parakeets.
I know.
Trying to tell us he doesn't have birds.
And then lied about it.
He's got like 83 of them in the back.
A parrot salesman telling me he doesn't have birds.
I've cleaned the
cage. Give me a break.
Dude, you're giving you a free plug. Tell everybody.
I mean, tell us about the birds. Where can we buy one of these birds?
Right. Maybe white van in the Home Depot parking lot. Used to be full of speakers about 20 years ago. Now I got birds.
Yeah, I mean, tell me if you're going to be over at the Fisherman's Club in the North End.
Selling
your birds later today. I want to know about it.
Cages? Nope, just the birds.
Got another email. Don't give the names out of who we are. Like they're at telling you guys you could come in and we'll cover your charges and all that. Just keep it on the down.
Oh, keep my names off the record. Of course. Of course, don't reveal our names.
Don't email me.
Don't say our names. I don't want our names out there. Yeah. It's top secret.
Bring a bunch of hundreds.
All right, Felger Mazur coming up next. They will have plenty of reaction from game one. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 on Canal Street. See you there. Bye. Go Bees.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Draw right circle. Blues win it. High slot, Parayko. Wrister blocked again, this one by Nordstrom. 8 seconds left. Corrali fires it off the glass. 5. They battle for it. Parayko, right circle. Centers deflected. Rask the save. Schenn digging away as Achari buries him, and the horn is going to sound. Rask pulls himself out of there. The Boston Bruins roar back with 4 unanswered goals, and they win game one of the Stanley Cup final by a final of 4-2 over the St. Louis Blues.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.